Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, June 12th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. Joining me, as always, I have my regular Monday co-host, broadcasting from across the pond in London proper, Paul Edward Stevenson. Paul, how you doing today, brother?
Yeah, fine, Richard. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I enjoyed your show this weekend, taking calls, something you haven't been able to do as much of with the prior slot. And yeah, it was a lot of good calls came in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was good to take calls just to, you know, dedicated the show just to, for people to call in, really, you know. Cause I was supposed to do an interview, but I was almost glad that it didn't materialize because it's good to, you know, speak to people.
Indeed, indeed. And I don't know what is the primary news story of the week there. I know the week has just barely begun. It's a little later in the day over there, though, on Monday at least, though. But I don't know. I would think one thing worldwide, at least, would be of note. The saber rattling related to this Air Defense 23 exercise. They're saying the biggest NATO exercise.
Oh, yeah.
25 countries, Paul. 250 aircraft, 10,000 soldiers involved. If this isn't saber rattling, I don't know what is. And it's like, it seems like it's not going to work out in Ukraine militarily, so we have to at least—I don't know what. So at least we have to try to act like we're going to win. What is the plan here?
Yeah, well,
they're not going to actually—they're not going to expand it. Some keep talking about how there's a desire for regime change of Putin. I mean, they're not really going to expand this war. Be that insane, are they? I mean, I'm hearing people. There was a gentleman, okay. Well, Robert Ravolt, you know, he's on the slot Sunday night. He was playing a clip, you know, Natural News website and Mike Adams. Well, RBN's own early morning weekday host, John Moore, who's a former Green Beret and military and police detective, what have you. But he was on with Mike Adams of Natural News, and they were going at it a couple days in a row. And I mean, just seriously talking about how the West is going to stay full on in this is what he at least is convinced from his military sources. He's saying, yeah, well, we have the Philippines as a base to attack China, and we have Europe as a base to attack Russia. It just sounds insane, Paul, but that's what the military allegedly are saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really not going well, this counteroffensive has started. And, you know, for the most part, this seems like it's been some sort of joke because it's just been so amateurish. A lot of those tanks, including Leopards and Bradleys, have been wiped out. My understanding is that there's just no air support. So they're going in there, vulnerable as you like, and the Russians are just picking them off. It's not even difficult, you know. The Ukrainians have had a little bit of success here and there, and I think even that's questionable because it's, you know, it's so difficult to believe anything they say. But I think the real danger of escalation is real, and you know, there's within NATO there's rumblings, you know, about how united they are. But the whole thing is kind of like you're talking, you know, there's like a there's a guy who's, I forget the guy's name, but he's an advisor to Zelensky. He's a direct advisor to Zelensky, but he's an ex-NATO guy himself. And he's talking about how they need, you know, there's like a coalition of the willing. Some of these Baltic nations that might actually get involved, and you know, and by going in there, sending troops in there. The other worrying thing is, you know, I think once it's absolutely and abundantly clear that this counteroffensive is a miserable failure and an actual disaster, are you going to end up seeing these F-16s being flown by, you know, Americans and NATO pilots? And, you know, I think Biden seems to be, you know, thinking maybe this is something to run on, you know, like a wartime president, or, you know, so, yeah, I think there's every chance this will escalate. But if you, you know, if you've got NATO troops going in there, whether it's an F-16s or whatever, then, you know, it just depends what the Russians do. I mean, the Russians don't have to, you know, start a World War III scenario. They can just kill whatever on their own doorstep. But at that point, then it's fair, you know, fair game if they want to start attacking U.S. military bases and, you know, wherever, you know, outside of that region.
It doesn't seem completely unimaginable that regime change of Putin is on the table for some of these people. Looking at the Israeli point of view, Russia has been a thorn in the side of a lot of Israeli wars and conflicts in the Middle East recently, hasn't it?
Yeah. But, I think this idea of regime change for Putin, though, is just absurd. That's not going to happen, you know. I don't see how they're going to, you know. Put it this way. This dam bursting. Now, some people, obviously, the official narrative is that Russia did this as usual. And then you've got, you know, the claim, which is that the Ukrainian did it. And then there's somewhere in between that a HIMARS missile that the Ukrainians attacked that bridge with last year, it caused a structural problem, which eventually gave in. And it was actually, you know, in quotes, an accident. But I think even if that was the case, you'd have to blame the Ukrainians. But it's very interesting. Zelensky has recently come out. Now, obviously, he's an actor, so it's difficult to know whether it's genuine anger or not. But he said, now, unfortunately, we see that at some levels, the world is simply, shamefully indifferent to the ecocide and human tragedy caused by the Russian terrorist attack on the Kakhovka hydroelectric power station. So he's basically complaining, you know, to the West for, they haven't sort of been involved. He said, but international organizations that are supposed to protect life on a global scale fail to form and send support and rescue missions to the occupied territory, even in a week when some global actors do not dare to come. Let me just see what it says. He goes on to say, with clear and strong statements condemning this latest Russian war crime, terrorists are simply fueled. So, in other words, he's complaining that the lack of Western presence as a result of this ecocide, you know, like a humanitarian crisis. So that might well provide you with a motive that the desperation of Zelensky and his regime blew that dam up in the hope that this kind of catastrophe would bring NATO troops in under the pretense of humanitarian assistance. You see what I mean? So he would get some Western NATO presence in there because of this dam, because he seems to be really angry that, no one's turned up.
Okay. Well, good for that, at the very least.
Yeah, he's got some cheek, though. I mean, you know, considering, you know, how much help he's had from the West, to be sitting wagging his finger and saying, shamefully, you haven't helped us. Well, you know, that's
well, the old. Right, yeah. I mean, because, yeah, all that's left is, are we going to escalate this to a global superpower World War III level? Russia and China would obviously have each other's backs if we were to go full on, where we have our troops directly in conflict far beyond what has happened so far, as you described. But I mean, economically is the only way, other reason other than Israel perhaps wanting Putin, the Putin regime change, economically for the U.S., just a last-ditch effort because they're stuck between a rock and a hard place with the country and you know,
and they've
wars.
Got their own problems in Israel too, though. You know, mm-hmm. You know, you've
well,
got
even,
Iran
even,
and just
even Saudi Arabia now. I mean, normalizing relations with more countries outside of the Western sphere, and the Saudi crown is now allegedly threatening the West with major economic consequences. So I don't know. I'm just saying the only things that if they really are going to take this to a level of seriousness beyond just letting it fizzle now, you know, were taking on Russia and China, or pretending to at least, okay, then it would be because of, well, the need for Putin to go. I mean, you know, Israel's request basically for the U.S. to, or, well, and requesting Europe to keep on, for Israel's sake, though, regarding Putin, or just the economic desperation of the U.S. And the U.S. dollar internationally. But a lot of people think, you know, the leaders of all nations have their own little group, and it's the elites and world leaders first, you know, before any countries, and that there's a bit of theater at the very top. You know, it's always, I don't know. I just can't see full-on war that would include Russia, because it would have to include China. Same with the, you know, the South China Sea conflict and Taiwan and all this. Because everything is, we haven't started the infrastructure to manufacture our own microchips and all this stuff, you know what I mean? And just accept an alternative to the low wages there, where we can benefit from this communism in the East, capitalism in the West thing that's going. And there's no willingness to change that, Paul. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't describe the Chinese as communist anyway. Economically, they're, you know,
I'm just thinking about manufacturing, and I mean, just like how little workers we work produce. For. Why it's so cheap to have workers manufacturing over in Southeast Asia in general. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, I don't think we've got the industrial base, you know, to be producing the weapons for that type of war. But you know, Richard, I think these people are stupid enough to actually escalate it. You know, I mean, you're dealing with obviously the Victoria Nulands of this world, and these people are insane. And you know, they only seem to know one thing, and that's just aggression. But you know, as far as Israel is concerned, you know, Iran and Saudi Arabia being, you know, sort of reconciled is a big deal, because. And also, Iran is now producing these hypersonic missiles. So Israel could find itself in trouble over there. It hasn't made any friends over there. You know, the people in the Middle East are under no illusions of who those wars have been fought for. You know,
I have to assume that different Jewish power factions, they don't necessarily agree on everything regarding how this war is going to go at different stages.
Probably.
Yes, you have European factions, Israeli and American factions, and perhaps the European factions would benefit most from Ukraine being a second home base, an additional home base, we'll just say. And so perhaps the European Jews are the most dedicated to the Ukraine land and control, right? If I were to speculate.
Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I just know that, you know, Israel is finding itself increasingly vulnerable, if you ask me, because they've made, you know, enemies of that whole region, and they've been able to do so because of the support of the United States. And then Russia's got involved, obviously, and stopped them in Syria. So, yeah, I'm sure they're not, you know, fans of Putin. It's difficult to know. I mean, I think at the end of the day, Putin... he's gonna be unrelenting in what's in the best interest for the Russian Federation, and if that happens to clash with Israel's interest, then so be it. I don't buy into this idea that, you know, that there's some sort of conspiracy with Putin and Israel or something like that. It's very difficult to know how it's all going to pan out, but I just think that this war is going to escalate. That's what I think, and it might not be, I don't know, unless nuclear weapons are used by the West, I mean, when they realize it's a hopeless situation. Because I think if NATO goes into that conflict, I don't think they'll win it. You know, I just don't think they're organized enough. I don't think they're battle-hardened. You know, what wars have they fought? I mean, you're not going to fight Iraq.
Well, what if? Okay, well, let me throw another scenario out there. Let's say at a very subtle level, at the very top, there is a bit of orchestration, elites and leaders keeping themselves looked after first. But what if the plan is for the West to go full bore, and even though that, you know, they'll lose, where to intentionally lose, for this to be a moment in history where the West and NATO lose a war, and the Eurasian shift has, you know, well, these alternative global powers representing, overcoming white colonialism and white supremacy worldwide, and people of color they'll be propagandized people of color to identify with this Eurasian shift and the losing war NATO has experienced. You know, what if they want to socially engineer it like that? I don't know.
Maybe. We'll just have to wait and see how it pans out, you know.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, of course.
I want to hear what callers have to say, too, on this topic. But we could move on to I have some other articles. And what else did you want to add?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, DHS, we're hearing, sought to assign social credit-style risk scores to social media users. Department of Homeland Security, a contract with University of Alabama at Birmingham in 2018, they developed this project, Night Fury, designed to analyze and assess risk scores to social media accounts. So, yeah, I mean, just rating, how much of a threat to the government you are in the information you look into or what you're willing to spread, at least to others, share with others. So, I mean, yeah, I know, just shows more and more of this Orwellian society becoming a reality.
Yeah, you've got the war. And you've got the World Health Organization. You've got the World Health Organization over, talking about these vaccine passports again, and they've struck up a deal with the EU to make this a reality. To protect us all, so that in future pandemics, those who have the passports will be able to travel. This is coming down the tracks. So unless something's done to stop that, my understanding is that the EU is basically giving the green light to the World Health Organization for this, which means that if you don't have it, you're not traveling in Europe.
Mm-hmm. And iris scans are getting more popular. We have a few different three national ID programs underway right now with iris biometric scans integrated in a lot of this. I'm sure you're going to see over there in Europe.
Yeah, there
as
needs
well.
To be some. There needs to be some leadership changes in Europe, because this can't be allowed to go ahead. It's as simple as that.
This one entrepreneur was out there asking Elon Musk if he can buy the World Health Organization from Bill Gates. but he does practically own it, the amount of control he has, considering he's the biggest donor.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I keep talking about that James Corbett, a four-part documentary on Bill Gates. Everyone should try to check that out if they haven't, because yeah, he really wants to engineer the world just the same as the Rockefeller family has always had aims at. For those who've looked into that, but
And so, then you've got Trump being arrested,
right? Yeah, no, Trump officially has been indicted, and I just saw a couple updates on that, like some detailed claims. Trump insecurely stored SCI and SAP documents at Mar-a-Lago. In the meantime, though, in the current era, overlapping with that, though, the Biden administration is censoring the disclosure of the 2020 election censorship documents. This was the FBI colluding with social media companies, Facebook, Twitter, to hide anything negative about, Hunter Biden laptop and
yeah,
and
that's my garden for you. we'll that's be ahead of the DOJ since all this is happening.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
It's primary season again. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. Tuesday was primary day in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, my home state. That really got me thinking about the entire primary process. Primaries are how two main political parties, private organizations, decide who they'll put on the ballot for the actual election. The direct primary election is unique to the United States. The current system has only been around since the 1970s, and somehow it's become taxpayer-funded. The 2016 primary elections cost taxpayers over $427 million. And to make that idea even worse, not everyone is allowed to participate in the taxpayer-funded selection process. 26 million registered voters can't vote in primaries because they're not registered to one of the two big parties and live in closed primary states. So what's the solution? Make the parties pay for their own primaries or go back to caucuses. The parties pay for the process every one of the caucus states. If you believe in limited government and you're fed up with the uniparty, visit constitutionparty.com and break out of the two-party illusion. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, see this Pashem Parabellum.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Monday co-host Paul Edward Stevenson, and Paul, we have a caller on the line. We have Don in Arizona. Don,
hello. How are you? John Moore, I like John Moore, but he's not actually a journalist, you know, where he gets verification for everything and stuff. Last year, I remember this, last year, like in the summer, he was saying that China is going to attack the United States in the fall. I mean, he said he had it narrowed down to when is it going to be, probably September or October of last year. China was going to have a land invasion of the United States. He said, oh, they got military equipment out there in shipping containers off the coast. And I mean, so he repeats a lot of wild rumors. He's not actually what you call a journalist who gets verification for everything he says. But I mean, he's good on some subjects, like what he says about the clot shot is good. But when he starts talking about wars that he thinks are going to start, I mean, he, for example, he has this, somebody told him that, in Tucson, Arizona, Davis Moth and Air Force Base, you might have heard this, where they're supposedly they're taking a lot of airplanes out of mothballs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I live in Tucson, Arizona. I'm here. I mean, I haven't heard anything about that from anybody except John Moore. I mean, but somebody told him that, and a lot long ago, somebody told him that Putin is going to invade Germany. So he repeated that. Hey, I heard from one of my sources. So he's got all these mysterious sources. Nobody knows who they are, you know what I mean? So he's kind of a tall tale guy. He'll say stuff, he'll get enthusiasm about something. But yeah, he said Putin was going in some one of his sources. This guy knows. I can't tell you who he is, but he said Putin's going to invade Germany. So I mean, you have to kind of take him with a grain of salt. I'll let you go on that. Thank you.
Okay. And next we have Daryl in Canada. Daryl.
Hi, guys. I missed that part. Who was he talking about, that all these things about inviting Germany? What individual? This last caller?
Who he said was saying that?
Yeah.
Oh, John Moore, the morning RBN host.
Oh, John Moore.
Yeah, like Robert Ravel last night was playing a few shows he did with Natural News, Mike Adams.
I heard that part before. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah, he's good on a lot of subjects, but some of his interesting. At least he's better than his Jeff Nyquist, who's a basket case. Anyway, I'll leave that alone for now. You know, I heard one of your commercials there, and they were advertising the Constitution Party. I mean, that might be viable for, let's say, somebody like RFK, because you're never going to win this Democratic Party situation. I don't care what happens, because the superdelegates will quash them at the end anyway. So somebody needs to have a third party. So that'd be a good one. I've thought about that Constitution. It's already on every ballot, and it's established. So that would be good. Paul was talking about the vaccine passports. Yeah, that's crazy, some of these reincarnations of these things. Not one single person on the face of the earth has regretted not taking that, who didn't take the vax, of regretting of, you know, that they ended up not taking the vax. I mean, good luck implementing this vaccine passport. I mean, even, well, I don't know, 20-25% of people that took it. So, I mean, it's like, even if there was the so-called safe vax, most people would, you know, they burn their bridges. I mean, it's cried wolf too many times. So I would like to see them try to do that on a large scale, because there's just no chance that would ever become, you know, viable. I mean, before, the people didn't know. But anybody that just, you know, looks a little bit behind the scenes can see the disaster that this is. It's way worse than it's helped. I mean, it's helped, yeah. It's made things like 25, I think, the person now. It used to be 3 or 4 or 5 times more likely to get COVID, although COVID's not around anymore. Now, the latest I've heard, you're 25 times more likely to get COVID with your immune system shot with these vaccines. So it's getting worse and worse all the time. Anyone want to comment? I got some stuff on Russia.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, I'd say that the green agenda and the pandemic agenda are both just pushing digitized totalitarianism as much as possible. And the World Health Organization, the UN, WEF are all on board with these same agendas. Paul, do you want to comment?
Now, what you got on Russia, Darl?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, all I can say is on the last thing you said, our prime minister here, Justin Castro, will be all in on all of those aspects there, Richard, I can tell you that. You know, I think Israel really hates Russia, really, actually. I mean, 25% of their population is Russians, and people that leave countries are not usually very, you know, loyal to them after the fact, because they left in the first place. I mean, Russia saved Syria from ISIS and those other groups a couple of years ago. They were ready to overrun Damascus and the country, so... And I don't think Russia and Israel have anything in common, frankly, for friendship, other than the little bit of facade that they do in trading.
Well,
and stuff like
here,
that.
Let's hold you over to talk about Russia on the other side.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shioji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shioji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Here at Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with Paul Edward Stevenson. We have Daryl in Canada. And Daryl, you wanted to elaborate on Russia.
Yeah, like Paul mentioned, they're just picking off the big targets that are coming out. I mean, Russia. I mean, Russia's happy now. I mean, they're the Ukrainians were surreptitiously hiding all these larger weapons for the most part until they come out on this big offensive, so-called. So, Russia's ecstatic now. They got, you know, they can weaken the enemy. I mean, when they're going in Bakhmut, it was tough to sledge through that because it was all urban, a lot of places to hide. But when you have a huge advantage in forces, and especially in air power, I mean, you want those things out in the open, and the Ukrainians are accommodating them, especially considering the insanity of what they're trying to do, the Ukrainians. You usually need around a 3-to-1 advantage, roughly, in that range to carry out an offensive. And that's not even including really strong fortifications that are going to face you. You may need even more if that's the case. And the Ukrainians are barely able to match in all the areas that they are. The troops, I mean, they got them spread out pretty much. I watch these military channels and stuff like this and South Front and stuff. They need to reconstitute their troops to a more of a, like the way the Nazis did it, like in a blitzkrieg straight in. But even if they did that, their flanks would be open too. There's no chance. They have absolutely no chance. And once this, the thing is, once this fizzles out, which it will soon, and it'll be evident, just like what happened in Kursk and in the Battle of the Bulge, the Nazis, they shot their wad and they shortened the war. Now, when the Russians start steamrolling and coming in and taking land and probably take Odessa and Kharkov and stuff like that. The West is the one I am afraid of. I mean, they're going to be, it's a scary situation because they're going to freak out. It's just unbelievable. They're just not used by all the rhetoric. Listen to all the rhetoric. Well, how long it's going to take? Forever, almost, it sounds like they will back the Ukrainians. So they will not accept defeat. So what does that mean? You guys were talking about it. What are they going to do? Are they going to put their troops in there? I don't think they even have enough. I don't think they have enough power to do anything. And then Russia will really take the gloves off if they did that. So, I mean, I am afraid of the West a heck of a lot more than anything Russia has to do, the West's reaction.
Well, no, I'm interested to hear the exchange between Canada and UK. Paul.
Yeah, they seized a plane. That was a big deal, a cargo plane. Wow.
Oh, no, I mean the two of you gentlemen. So Paul, your response to Darryl.
Yeah, well, that's always been my fear, the hubris of the West. And, you know, and it's abundantly evident that, you know, they're just being battered out there. And it should already be the case with this miserable attempt at a counteroffensive going in there without air support. I mean, this is just easy work for the Russians. I mean, they're just wiping out Bradleys, those Leopard tanks, with drone attacks. They've got a huge advantage with their IRS abilities there. And the West have got no... Are the Ukrainians getting no air support? I mean, it's insane. I mean, I saw there was one regiment that, if you're to believe this stuff, again, you have to watch everything with, you know, with a certain skepticism. But there was one regiment I saw on Ukrainians who said that they weren't going to fight, that they were done. It was just it was madness. And that's what, it's a suicide mission, you know. And then what are they going to do? Bring in the F-16s? For a bunch of Ukrainians who don't know how to fly them, so then you're into, well, in their desperation, are they going to let, you know, the Americans or NATO pilots fly them? And then if that doesn't work, which it probably won't, because, you know, the Russians are pretty handy in their air power themselves, you know, then what? Are they going to nuke Russia? This is the worry, you know, that they're just crazy. You know, if it doesn't work one way, they'll just keep escalating it into whatever way they need to. So that's my fear. I'm not even sure Putin realizes just how crazy these people are.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, just to finish off by saying, I'm hearing that there's a lot of... this is only going to get worse, like Paul, you just said, as far as deserters and stuff. It's only going to get much worse. What are they going to bring in? I think there's some of them now, but it's like the old NKVD in the Soviet Union to shoot deserters that run away from the front line. They shoot them in the back. I don't know if the Ukrainians are going to do that. I mean, they show certainly pretty desperate trying to, you know, pick people out of houses or off the street or in bars in Ukraine to put them into the meat grinder there. As I said before on your show there, Paul, the other day, I mean, what kind of soldiers are those going to make? I mean, normally you'd have to train a soldier for 6 or 9 months. That might take 2 years. And still you're not even going to end up with... You got to have people that want to fight, but that's certainly going to be people that are going to be, when they see the results in front of them. I mean, I see that even some of these videos where these tanks and things like that shot, and you see these people just running away all over the place. So,
there was one of them that looked like... There's quite... It's been circulating online, you know, you can see it a lot, where you've got these tanks, and they're just... They're completely lost. It's like they're going around in a circle following themselves. These are just amateurs. I mean... This doesn't look like it's organized at all. I mean, these guys are just going around in circles, and the Russians are just picking them off at ease.
Well, always
it's just,
keep
it's
in
sad.
Mind.
I saw other footage where you could see a bunch of guys running because the Russians have got these lines defended to the hilt. They've got dragon's teeth. They got mines. I actually saw footage earlier today, and you know these guys running. And they ran into a mine, and you saw a guy just getting blown up. His leg was just blown off. It was very hard to watch, but you could watch this. These guys, this guy, they're running in, and one guy just got it. He just stood on it, and he just was like, you know, one leg crawling away, and the other guy scarpered in the other direction. And it's horrible to witness that, you know.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, just right at the beginning, a few weeks after this started or so, Ukraine wanted to negotiate, but the West said no. So this is the West's war. It's their war, and it's scary. Well, but they're going to react to when things are not going to go their way. Okay, thanks, guys. Great discussion.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darryl.
As always, Darryl. Charlie in Florida. Charlie.
Hey, yeah, that was a good call, that last caller. There's a lot going on over there, I'm telling you. Right now I'm hearing upwards of, and I thought it was crazy, but this, the number of men that have been killed in this counteroffensive so far, I thought it was way up there. I thought they were bragging, or, you know, it was overestimated. But then a very conservative group called Slavengard, who is in Russia, but they are pretty much anti-Putin, but they're Russian, and they're even giving these figures, which are considered on the conservative side, that they may have lost as many as 7,000 men so far in this counteroffensive. And I have a tendency to agree, because even CNN reported the other day in a news article that they had lost 5,000 men. These people ran into a minefield. Let's get this straight. This is insane. They sent these people into a minefield. I mean, even the tanks and everything that are supposed to be like the mine searchers were taken out by the military. By the Russian military, the ones that were supposed to kind of like, you know, go through and take out the mines so that they could go through it, were taken out early, and they were still ordered to keep going in. They've lost over 50-something tanks. They've lost 7,000 men, 200-something APCs. I mean, it's devastating. This is like the charge of the Light Brigade or something. It's one of the worst military operations I've ever heard about. It's got to be one of the biggest losses ever, you know, in the history of warfare. It's crazy.
I know, it's insane. It's almost as if they're just, you know, they're deliberately trying to get these people killed, because I don't understand it. I don't know how they think they would have any chance. Hey, or maybe they thought that the Russians will take pity on them, and, you know, because, I mean... it's hard to watch.
Well, a lot of people have been talking about this, about the number of losses that they've been sending in there, and they're almost all... I mean, if you were wanting to replace the population with...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you were wanting to replace the population with the Ukrainian Nazis, you know, which are called the Jews that they call over there, those... I can't think of Khazarian Jews... That's what you would do. I mean, you would replace them with those people, with those Jewish people, and get rid of your, you know, Catholic Slavic people, right?
Yeah, so maybe. So many of the population there drops dramatically because, I mean, so many people have fled the country. And then, you know, there's probably 300, maybe 350,000 young Ukrainians have died. So, I mean, it's a genocide really going on out there for the Ukrainian people. And when are the Ukrainian people going to realize they've been duped, that this whole thing is just basically destroying their country? You know, and maybe they do, but, you know, they don't have like our countries, you know, you don't actually have any representation. But I just wonder when the penny's going to drop with these people that this is not helping Ukraine.
Well, I think they do realize it, but they're afraid to speak out. They're living under a police state over there. Basically, we're supposed to be supporting this state. It's supposed to be so free and everything, but it's very well controlled. The last caller mentioned something about the people, about them running and getting in trouble or whatever. Well, what we know is that the ones that don't refuse to go into battle are the ones that turn around and run in the opposite direction. Their families are targeted. And I'm going to give you something else. Mel Gibson is coming up with a new movie, supposedly, pretty soon. It's going to be a four-part series where he talks about child abductions and child sacrificing and all this kind of stuff. And he says that the Ukraine is one of the worst for these dealing with babies and stuff, children, trafficking children into these.
Yeah, well, according to Douglas McGregor, since this war started, there's been 60,000 children who've gone missing, Ukrainian children. And, of course, they'll be sent over to the West, probably to suffer horrendous pedophilia from the creepy little pedophiles in the West.
Yes, and so what they're doing is threatening their families, these people, and they're saying, you know, if you don't go along with this, we're going to take your children, we're going to put you in arrest you, and so forth and so on, from these people that are turning and running and battling all this stuff. So these people, by the way, a lot of people don't know this also, that Ukraine is one of the biggest drug producers of synthetic cocaine. They manufactured that synthetic cocaine over there in those labs. When they had those bio labs,
I read
an article.
The level of corruption in Ukraine is staggering. I mean, you know, even when you hear, I've heard quite a few of the testimonies. There's a channel where they have guys on talking about their experience where they went out there, soldiers, you know, from the West that went and fought for the Ukrainians. And one of the constant themes was just not only how disorganized it was, but how corrupt it was. I mean, some of these guys were waking up in the morning where their basic equipment had gone missing. And there was like weapons being sent in and stuff. And then the guy who's actually the general or whoever, you know, he disappears and the weapons disappear. And they're like, where'd all our weapons go? I mean, these are weapons. And then this guy actually suggested that one of the reasons they're sending these guys on the suicide missions is because if they're dead, well, they can't talk. So in other words, they're sending these guys out to get killed, and these are guys who are Ukrainians who are supposed to be defending Ukraine. It's just making a racket out of it and thinking, okay, we'll send these foreigners in to get killed so they can't whistleblow, basically, you know?
That's right. No, you're exactly right. That's happening.
And we're over here in the West flying our, you know, I went to this guy. I work in some very big houses and stuff, and I went and I needed a picture of his. It was half a Ukrainian, half a Union Jack. And, oh, my God, even around the garden, they had those little flags, little Ukrainian flags all over the garden. I was thinking, good God, please help us.
My God.
I know. Well, I saw a guy yesterday, a couple of days ago. I said yesterday. It was a few days ago, riding a bicycle through my neighborhood. He had a Ukrainian flag, flying the Ukrainian flag on the back of his bicycle. I'm saying, these people are nuts. They're absolute nuts. Well, they don't know anything.
You know? No, I know. It's just the most propagandized people in the world are in the West. And, you know, we've got a lot of these ex-communist countries in the Baltic nations. I mean, they're a liability, too, because they hate Russia. And they have gone, you know, they think that the West is just a shining, pristine, perfect place. And everything is compared to the Soviet Union. And it just hates Russia. And they don't seem to realize that, you know, this is not, you know, the 1980s under Reagan. You know, things have changed dramatically here, you know, but they don't see that because they're comparing it to the conditions that they were in and the conditions that their mother and their grandmother spoke about. And so they think the West can do no wrong. And these people are here shaping public opinion, and they're certainly in Poland. I mean, Poland's got a massive influx of Ukrainians in there, you know, and it's dangerous because they just think that the West is so wonderful and that we're not capable of propaganda and everything we say is true and everything Russia says is lies, you know.
Well, Poland's going to probably end up getting into the war, and that's going to be a major escalation because everything is running out. The United States is running out of stuff to send them. Nobody can supply these people enough because of all the corruption and them selling everything, and then plus the fact that they're getting beat so bad and it's all getting destroyed.
So that would be a great discussion. Go ahead.
Go ahead, please, Richard.
Well, Paul brought up a great topic for a whole show, or just to talk about the ways propaganda has accelerated since World War II era and beyond. And I mean the extravagant living expectations the boomer generation had with the 50s. I mean, it's because, you know, we weren't destroyed like Europe, and we had this manufacturing powerhouse, and you know, we're able to convert what was wartime supply focus to the private sector. But it was artificial. Everything has been artificially accelerated in propagandizing people with what your lifestyle should be like and where your values should lie World War II. You know what I mean, Charlie?
I do. As a matter of fact, speaking on that propaganda realm, I got a couple of little interesting things. Since that dam was blown up by the Ukrainians, and I'm going to say it, you know, since they did that, the propaganda, they showed people standing out in the water, right? And they're all have American flags. I mean, American signs in English, right? And they're speaking English, and they're all standing in the water down with Russia for, you know, it's total propaganda. I mean, why would these Ukrainian people have signs in English? You know, it was all staged. And then the other thing that came out the other day is this Thunberg, Greta Thunberg. You know, the little Nazi Rothschild girl. She's a Rothschild, by the way. A lot of people don't know it, but she is connected to the Rothschild family. She came out and said, oh, how bad Russia was for destroying all the crops and the environment and everything like that down there, and
for destroying that dam. So, I mean, you see the propaganda machine going nuts over this, trying to blame Russia for blowing up their own dam, which, of course, they wouldn't do. Anyway.
Well, it's been a great, great discussion. Thanks, as always, for your call, Charlie.
Yeah, bye.
I hear the final break, and we'll take our next caller on the other side. Stick around, folks.
Always danger, endless talking, life rebuilding.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
They're making the last film. They say it's the best, and we'll help make it. It's called The Death of the West. The kids from fame will all be there. Free Coca-Cola for you.
And we are back, folks, going back to the phones. Patrick in Texas. Patrick.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Richard. You know, first off, you know, that Germany was fighting communists. They didn't refer to themselves as Nazis. And, you know, would talk about, you know, Germany shot their wad during the Battle of the Bulge. No. They were teamed up on by the whole world, Jewish world order. And, you know, it was like, there's a, you know, it was like a Milton Friedman, the Jewish economist, went into China and taught them about capitalism, how you can make more money and be more prosperous, get the people incorporated into the mix. And then, but yet all the Communist Party got all the choice pieces of the government contracts. And and Tiananmen Square, you know, how they, you see how they treat their people there. But one thing about it is in the Mockingbird Media, Alex Stone, he had his favorite, Jerome Corsi, who wrote Unfit for Command. He also wrote a book about the super corridor coming out of Laredo, Mexico, going through into Kansas City and on up into Windsor, Ontario, 4 football fields wide. And they had they were going to widen the Panama Canal to bring in all these super freighters from China. And then Mexico was going to take those freighters in and then truck it stuff all the way through, thereby circumventing our ports, our trucking. But you know, that was something he floated out there. And but they got awful quiet in 2004 about that. Apparently, there's been a lot of blowback from that. But yeah, the Chinese are deeply invested with the Jews, and China, and then the Russia is not. As MS King said, they're vilifying Putin right now. He quite blocked them in Syria, and they really wanted that land down there, and. So I think it's more an issue, Ukraine, that's just a meat grinder, just like their rabbi said, we're going to get rid of all of these white people here first before they can move in, Kazaria. Now back over to y'all.
Paul.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there is some truth behind this Jewish desire to occupy that land, because maybe they're scared because of what's happening in the Middle East, and they realize they've got no end of enemies there. I don't know, but I mean, Ukraine's definitely not going to be the same place. It's just been wrecked, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens to it afterwards. By the way, I shouldn't laugh because it's sad. But in the run up to this, there was a cringeworthy Western promo vid. The irony of all this, where they were putting their finger up to the lips, these soldiers, and this was like to be silent about the counteroffensive. I mean, I don't know anybody who does a video promoting silence. You're just telling everybody, but apparently the Ukrainians are now complaining because of this bloodbath that happened, that someone leaked the information to them. The Ukrainian military had released videos urging the importance of operational silence in the run-up to the counteroffensive, and it was such a disaster. They're now thinking that someone leaked information to let the Russians know exactly what was going on.
Wow, unbelievable. Thank you so much, as always, Paul.
Thank you, Richard.
And thanks, Patrick. Last caller, please try to call earlier tomorrow if you can. We'll try to get to you. All right, folks, please support the network, and we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.